Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek protection with God against shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM listeners, it is my distinct honor and pleasure to greet you with the Muslim greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And to welcome you to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, featuring your hosts, Mark Shaheed and Quran Shakir. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. We ask you to grab a pen and pad and journey with us to examine sound approaches to finding a mate, the do's and don'ts, and prescription for maintaining a fulfilled marriage. And we ask you to understand that we are using the Quran as our number one textbook, along with the text Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet, to make waves in your marriage with the ripple effect by Akila Nafisa Rashid. And now, dear beloved listeners, without further ado, it is my distinct honor and pleasure to present to you my esteemed co-host, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mubarak. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation? I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and facilitator and producer, along with Quran Shakir of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. And as Quran has said, that we ask that you bring an open mind, open heart, and bring a pen and pad to this learning lab, because there will be some noteworthy things that are worth taking note to. This is your learning lab, and we ask that you press 1 if you have questions or comments. And tonight, we have a very special treat for you tonight. It's we have one of our very scholarly learned imams in the association of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I always refer to him as the forerunner in promoting healthy male-female relationships for many, many years. Very well known in our community, Imam Fahim Shuaib. And we will be addressing the second letter in the word ripple, which Quran just gave, we're using as a text in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab by Akila Nafisa Rashid, Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet and Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. This is a unique publication in which the letters of ripple are used to identify principles in making waves in your marriage, Malin Muhammad the Prophet. And so we are just finishing up after about a month on the second principle, which is intimacy. And then we'll be moving on to partnership, and then peace, love, and then finally equality. So with no further ado, I'd like to introduce Imam Fahim Shuaib, longtime resident imam there at Wahdat-e Muhammad, and also the founder, probably along with others, in terms of Mariam, that have been established for a few years now. Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib.
Let's give him a little time. He just texted me to say he's out, so he is going to be calling in just a moment.
Okay, so I thought he was already there. So, you know, Quran, I think this would be probably an ideal time to go ahead and start with the overview, and inshallah, by that time that you finish, our special guest facilitator, Imam Fahim Shuaib, would have joined us. So, Quran?
Yes, indeed. So, last week, alhamdulillah, we were, as you said, continuing a look at the acronym I in Ripple, which is for intimacy. And with that, look at intimacy. Then we also we were on chapter 11, which is Men Do Not Rule Over Women. And I love the title of this. So we were looking at intimacy from an Islamic perspective, looking at the fact that the Western definition of intimacy puts emphasis on the physical. And in Islam, there is a system of knowledge that comes with it. Intimacy is important and necessary to have a harmonious relationship, and God has established marriage as an institution that should have intimacy. And when God establishes something, it is not just one-dimensional. We are more than physical beings. Our intimacy must appeal to the other dimensions of being a human, emotional, spiritual, intellectual, and social. So we serve Allah by living the full life. And intimacy, closeness, has to be looked at far beyond the conjugal, the physical, and the sexual relation. We need the holistic intimacy. Additionally, we looked at the fact that it is unenlightened traditions and misinterpretation of scripture that have historically supported the husband's domination over wives. So that's what we really got. Chapter 11, for example, in Surah 4, Ayah 34, the idea of devoutly obedient, other terms as strike your wife, for example, are translated from a misogynistic, chauvinistic perspective, whether intentional or unintentional. Mashallah, sometimes our own personal views come into translation, and we believe that this has happened with this particular ayat. So we looked at some of the Arabic terms in the ayat and helped to conclude that the understanding should be that all men, married or not, are the protectors and providers of the women and of the community, and that the righteous women find their strength in being obedient to God and guiding their capacity and the things that God has to far. And those wives with whom the husband may be displeased with them, then he should advise them. Then if they continue with whatever is displeasing him, then he should forsake the bed with them. And then finally, he should strike their consciousness and appeal to them like you would appeal to an employer whom you're making a strike against. You're striking like that. So you're striking in that kind of terminology, strike the consciousness. And then we believe that the ayah continues that if they obey Allah and continue to do Allah will have to do, then seek no means against them. And indeed Allah is ever exalted and grand. So I gave that very brief overview of last week. And inshallah, Imam Fahim is here with us. Alhamdulillah. So it is our distinct honor and pleasure, dear listeners, to welcome Imam Fahim Shuaib to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. We can hear you loud and clear. Maybe get a little closer to your mic, but you're coming through very well. It's an honor always, Brother Imam Shuaib, to have you join us here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And as you have already been informed, that we are still utilizing the textbook, Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet and Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. And as you are aware, the uniqueness of this publication by Sister Akilah Nafisa Rashid is that she's using the word ripple in an acronym form to identify principles that are necessary to have a Muslim marriage makeover, and modeling Muhammad the Prophet in making waves in your marriage with the ripple effect. And so we have just completed the second principle in that acronym of RIPPLE, which is intimacy. And you were with us in terms of the first principle of respect, but intimacy. Before we actually get into the intimacy from the Islamic perspective, as our beloved sister Akilah is giving it from the Quran, just to say that this is a staple for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, using Al-Quran, the life example of the Prophet and the demonstration of the Quran, and the tafsir, clear explanation by our beloved leader Imam Muhammad as the foundation. We find that this book is an outstanding publication that's also utilizing that along with some commentary from Imam Shamsuddin. I remember maybe 8 or 9 years ago when I first heard about intimacy, I heard you give something from a book. I don't remember the name of the book that you gave, but I do remember what it was that you gave, intimacy, because I actually used it in a seminar where I was addressing an audience that was predominantly non-Muslim. And in giving that insight, definition in terms of intimacy, you see, there was a woman that was in the audience that raised her hand and said, "Brother Shaheed, I once had that with my significant others." Now, mind you, she wasn't married or anything, but she said she had that type of intimacy, but she no longer had it. And she asked the question, "What do you think happened?" And I just simply asked the question. I said, "Well, did you ever get into some type of argument or disagreement, and you brought up some of those things in terms of intimacy, and from the perspective of when you were sharing your most personal and private thoughts, feelings, and fears, inhibitions, et cetera, did you ever bring some of those things up?" And she thought about it for a little while, and she said, "Well, kind of, sort of." I said, "Well, how much kind of and sort of did you, you one, two times?" She couldn't remember, but she said it was several times. And so I'm only saying this to say that the vulnerability and the trust that you have to have in terms of undressing yourself in that manner to your mate, and so as far as from an Islamic perspective, it should be in the sacred institution of marriage. So, Brother Imam, I said all that for you to address it first and foremost from that perspective, and I don't know if you remember the name of the book, but I know you gave it so long ago, I can't remember, but I do remember the insight that you gave, intimacy, into me, you see. And this is more from an Islamic perspective rather than a Western society definition of intimacy. Thank you once again, Brother Imam. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Alhamdulillah, it's an honor, a pleasure, and a blessing to be on and to share for the brief time that we do have. We're going to speak as students of Imam Wazir Imam, as we always do.
Yes.
However, I'm leading off with a focus from his language, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, language by this I mean, it's like, let's read what we have commonly experienced. Let's read it a little bit different, but it's right there in front of us, right? Where the Imam says, he says that the fact that Adam was made from sounding clay, so I guess I'm leading with the Quran, huh?
No better beginning, brother.
That's right. Adam is made from sounding clay. And so the Imam says that the hint of the hint in that is to say that it's the sound of words. I know I'm talking to a wordologist. He says that the hint is in the sound of words, right?
Yeah.
So part of, you get a part of the guidance by just listening to, okay, what is it saying? So you're taking that English word, into me you see, right? Intimacy, you got from intimacy to into me you see. Now, go back to the beginning. Into me you see.
Yes.
So it's like, so how many are involved? Two.
Two, yes, right.
If you want to have intimacy with me, you got to understand both of me.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand the physical me, and you have to understand the abstract me. You have to understand the physical me. You have to understand the spiritual me. Because if you don't know both sides of me, and we all in some ways, a little humor, but a little fact, you know, all of us have a kind of Jekyll and Hyde aspect. There's a part that we show to the world, but then there's also a part that we hide from the world. And we also, there are things that we hide from our mate. Right, and it's not always the wise thing to do to just expose things that have been hidden and perhaps should remain hidden in the interest of saying, well, I'm just being transparent, I'm just being honest, I'm just being open. You may actually blow their mind to the point where they have no idea who you are. You know, who are you? You know, I'm gonna keep it a little bit, you know, above that depth for what I'm saying is that, see, we talk about projection, right? Project Mike Tyson and Robin, what's her name? Gibbons? Was that her name?
I always use that
as a model for what I'm trying to say. He supposedly fell in love with Robin Givens just by seeing her on the television, right?
Yes.
And then we know what happened after that, at least the history of what's been there, published, what happened. So there were things that he hadn't seen the real person. He had only seen the projection that he had in his own mind about what the perfect woman would be. And so he got caught by her. Project by his own projection, meaning that he cast his ideal over her and identified his ideal as her, but his ideal, which psychically held him, was not true to the person that she actually was.
Yes.
Right? And so consequently, not only did she not know the two Mikes, right? He didn't know the two Robins.
Yes.
Right? And
yes.
So when the two of them got together, even if there was physical intimacy, no doubt, it still didn't translate into a healthy marriage. I'll stop right there. We're going to be saying more, me, you, all of us, as we go. But I'll stop my comments for that.
Yes, sir. And I want to thank you. Boy, I tell you, that's a very powerful statement in terms of how we are really to see each other and know that there's a invisible you and the intimacy is really designed to help make the invisible visible, if you will. So alhamdulillah. And this is so very, very important. As Imam Muhammad has said, that in definition is direction, and sometimes in definition, we get misdirection. And so the right definition not only gives you the right direction, but it gives you the correction because, as you well know, that in intimacy, many multiple definitions in the dictionary and Western society thinking, it always, as you had just mentioned, that it identifies as a sexual relation or conjugal relationship. Also, that's how when people speak, That is the image that is formed in their mind in terms of what intimacy actually is, but it's far bigger and deeper than that. And in recognizing, as you say, the physical you, abstract you. And so
yeah.
Obviously you want to get to know the abstract you. That is really what it is
that
you have to live with, correct?
Yeah. There's another layer or level that we can go to in the language of Imam Muhammad that I know that the primary and fundamental objective is the courtship learning lab is to, okay, get practical advice about, useful advice about how to make our marriages, let's call it, whole and sound, right? I know that's the objective. But you've heard, we've all heard that you can't solve problems at the same level of thinking that created them.
Right? That's right.
Right.
So there's very few things that grown folks have not heard about what's the right thing to do to make a marriage whole and sound. That is, it's a part of our, I mean, you can talk to your grandmama, if she's living, or your great aunt or whatever, and they can tell you. They don't even have to be Muslims.
That's right.
And they will give you the wisdom if you follow that. And they didn't pull it out of the Quran. They didn't pull it out of the whatever. Not even necessarily out of the Bible. It's just like experience has taught them and our culture has taught them. Okay, so the reason I'm saying that is because when we learn how to think higher than these physical levels, because if I'm only interested in, or if I'm mainly interested in the economic health, the social health, the interpersonal health of my marriage, you're still on a limited plane of it. You want to get above that, right?
Yes.
One of the things that will get you above that is seeing a world where your marriage on earth, I'll put it that way, your marriage in the practical domain is supposed to be reflecting a higher marriage.
Yes.
Okay? That is of an abstract nature. Right?
Yes.
Listen,
yes.
It's in the first verse of the fourth surah of the Quran. I heard Quran mention it, where she's at 434. She mentioned 434, that's definitely there too. But I'm thinking right at this moment of the first verse of the fourth surah, the one that we
and Nisa, yes. Mm-hmm.
It says خلق من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء. So without elaborating a whole lot on it, that created from نفس واحدة, that's abstract, holding the excellence of both male and female, and then خَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا and created its mate, and the mate is the physical male and female joined together in the bond of marriage, and inside of their relationship, they reflect the excellent principles that the نَفْسٌ وَاحِدَةٍ actually embodies. I think I've said this enough for people who hear me. So there we go again. With that, that's right. The pair and in between the two. Okay, fine. That's good. You know, it's a war story, right? And I'm a veteran, right? But look, so
no, you have to keep saying it. You know, you got to keep beating that drum until it finally reaches the end.
You talk about mothers, right? You know, repetition is the mother of learning. But let me get to the key point. Imam W.D. Muhammad. He tells us first the universe is our mother, and then afterwards she becomes our wife.
That's right.
Right? First she's our mother, then she becomes our wife, right? So,
mythology
often encompasses these ideas in the way that they present them. But the Imam goes on to explain that, and let me go to the Quran first so people don't have to think that, it's coming from somewhere else first. No. It comes from the Quran first. That's the 434. The 434, it says, al-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisaa' wa-s-salihaatu qanitaat And it says that, and men are the, well, the reading that I have for, men are the ones who set the women up, who treat women according to high standards, kawamun, right?
Yeah.
So that's what. But then it says of the woman, wasalihat tuqanitat, wasalihat, and the righteous, it doesn't even say woman in there, but the message, because of the fact that it doesn't say woman, it has a feminine ending, got that, but it actually doesn't say women. So when we say ar-rijal qawwamun, you say men, right?
That's right.
But but salihat doesn't say women, but the implication is that a righteous woman. And the further implication is that there's no such thing as a woman who is not righteous. So that is to say, if you have a woman, that you call her a woman, but if she's not righteous, she's not even a woman. That's one thing. Come on, I got people who used to be in the NOI, First Resurrection. It says, what is your true self? My true self is a righteous Muslim. Are there any Muslims other than righteous? I've never heard of such. Right?
That's right.
So there's no such thing as an unrighteous woman, an unrighteous Muslim. Therefore, there's no such thing as a woman who is unrighteous.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
If she's a female and she's not righteous, she's not a woman. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that women have to get in their mind. But I'm really just driving toward the universe. That's what I'm trying to get to. Where the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that ad-dunya al-marratu, khayr, that is, the dunya is full of khayr, it's full of excellence. Wa khayru mat'un is salihat marrat. It says, and the best entertainment and provision is the righteous woman, right? Allah
yes.
says, the universe is filled with benefits and entertainment, but the best benefit and entertainment in the world is a righteous woman, salih. Now, he says, salihat marrat. All right? So here's the thing. So kunut, in that verse 434, where it says that salihat tuqanitat, kunut is talking about a kind of righteousness that is reflected in the obedience of the celestial order to the will of God.
Yes.
Neptune, Jupiter, the star patterns, they are not disobeying God. They are obeying God, right?
Yes.
And so when Allah says, salihat tuqanit, he's saying that the righteous woman is as obedient to Allah's will as the celestial bodies are to Allah's will, all right? That's her aim. And finally, to talk about intimacy, because there's intimacy in this. I started by saying the Imam said, first, the universe is your mother, then it's your wife.
Right? That's right.
And
yes.
I know you two have heard, and many online have heard the Imam say, you got to deal with the universe as your woman.
That's
and
right.
You have to go into your woman and bring production out of her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? That's the kind of intimacy we have to get to. Now, if we can respect the fact that as husband and wife, if we cooperate with each other in our marriage in such a way that it cultivates the excellence of me and the excellence of her, then we both as a unit can go into the universe and be very productive. But we have to have that kind of intimacy in order to get that kind of cultivation.
Alhamdulillah, takbir, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
It's excellent, excellent. And yes, and that's the insight of what Imam Fahim Shuaib has given us, insight of Imam W.D. Muhammad, because many of us have heard the Imam say that, but the elaboration in what the Imam is actually saying on a higher level. So thank you so much for that, because he did say to us that this universe, he referred to as Big Mama. Big Mama.
Yeah.
He called it Big Mama. Yeah, he called it Big Mama. And then it becomes your wife, you know. See, so, you know, this insight is very, very important to us because it actually should help us to be able to see our relationships better in terms of even the social order that is designed for the human progress. So thank you so much for that, Brother Imam. I'm going to let my dear sister Karan Shakir, because I know that she has a question. I want to say to our IWDM radio listening audience that if you have questions and comments, don't wait till the last minutes or what. You know, you can begin to line up, and you can do that by pressing 1 if you have a question on tonight's topic, or if you have a comment. You may want to add something to this conversation in the Learning Lab, or for those who may just sit and listen every week and just be absorbing the information, the education coming forth from this Learning Lab on courtship and marriage. We'd like to hear from you, too. I'm quite sure Imam Fahim Shoaib would love to hear from you if, in fact, that you are benefiting from listening in to this Learning Lab. So at this time, turn it over to my co-host here, Karan Shakir.
Alhamdulillah. So Imam Fahim, again, we thank you so much for being with us. You always bring so much information and so much that we can chew on and inshallah build our relationship on. Alhamdulillah.
Right.
Yes, thank you for that. Yes, alhamdulillah. So in looking at what we have been addressing with our listening audience, and first I want to say, I know you said we like to give advice. I don't want to consider that we give advice. We just share information. And we share knowledge.
Yeah,
okay, good.
That's right. We take, we follow Imam Muhammad's lead, like what he told you, Brother Imam. I know what he told you.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we even though he didn't say that to us, but when he speaks to one, when Imam Muhammad speaks to one of us, he's actually speaking to all of us if we understand that, and if we say that we're students of his. So whatever he say to one, he's saying it to all of us. So no advice, you know, just disseminating information as Allah guides us to do that, but not trying to advise or counsel anybody. No, sir.
Yeah, thank you. And I love how you gave us that clarification about Sally Hathu that is in that ayat, and then the Qunuz talk about in the ayat. If you could expound for us, because one of the things that Sister Akilah says in her book is that the word tomb that we find in the ayat lets us know that we're talking about something that's on a spiritual realm. So can you help us as an audience?
The word what? Which word is it that you said?
Tune, the tune, T-U-U-N, U-U-N, that part.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's...
And so
she
was... Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead. So it sounds like you say, it sounds like it's the plural that's being spoken of, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Which word is it that you're talking? Which word is it that...
It was on several, so she had Kani, Tatum was one, but she was saying that what Allah is saying to us in this revelation, this ayat, is that our obedience is on that spiritual realm, as you mentioned. So that was her whole idea behind that.
Yeah. Okay. So you want me to say a little more about that aspect? Okay. One of the things further on that is that, so usually that verse, and I think you mentioned in your opening comments about how the chauvinism gets into the mix some kind of way, right? Like many of the ways, most of the ways that verse has been translated to us has been translated in a chauvinistic way, in a way that puts man as the dominator, as opposed to the one who sets the woman up and establishes her. That's really what it also said. That the men are the ones who establish the women. It speaks to the male responsibility by virtue of which the verse talks about, that Allah has given man. He didn't give him muscles for you to dominate anybody. He gave you those muscles to use them for the benefit of yourself and your family that will come as a product of your relationship. But moving past that, the idea of kunut, it's since it talks about an obedience like the stars in the heaven and the celestial bodies to the will of Allah, that shows you that what's being talked about as obedience, it's not primary as obedience to the man. It's primary as obedience to Allah. So you can see in these, I've seen this whatever the guy's name is. Whatever. This guy is in Turkey, and many of us know him. I'm not even going to mention his name. But you can find it this way if you want to look further. He just got sentenced to 1,075 years in prison in Turkey, right? 1,075 years in Turkey. So you gotta go look and see. Well, what was it that he did so bad that did that? So I'm gonna leave it right there. The point that I'm saying is it's a cult. It was a cult that he had started. All right, and they recently had a. They had another one, you know, I'm going to call it a year. Time goes so fast nowadays. Maybe a year ago, this group that was called Nexium or something, it was a sex cult, right? This Nexium, right? And so when you think about cults of all types, right? R. Kelly. You know, you look at R. Kelly. And you know, you say what you're supposed to say, be where you want to be, look. That was there. So the point is that way that he was dealing with him, according to the reports, you know, nobody allegedly convicted of blah, blah, blah. The point is that he was operating with them also as a cult, right, according to the report. And so, here's the point. When a woman starts behaving with a man as though he is God, then she is not sane. She's not sane, right? And when men want women who would treat them as though they are God, they too are not sane. So when the Quran says what salihat tuqanit, that they are devoutly obedient, it's not to the husband. But if they are devoutly obedient to Allah in the way that Allah ordered them, then man automatically is going to get his share. He's not going to get more than his share. Look at the relationship that Aisha radiallahu anha had with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, it's like she had a normal relationship with the Prophet, right? Sometimes, you know, she's good. Sometimes she clapped back. You know, I think that's the language they use. You know. Yeah, but that's because of who she was. The Prophet wasn't inviting her to be devoutly obedient to him. The invitation is to be devoutly obedient to Allah. And so the point is, that's the message for the woman. Hey, stop making your decisions on the basis of, well, if he be right, then I'll be right. I know Aretha Franklin, do right woman, do right man. So that's popular right now. It sounds good. It sounds good, but it ain't al-Islam, right? Al-Islam said your relationship is with Allah first, then it's with your husband. Allah first, then it's with your wife. Now, if you put them between you and God, what do you have? You have an illah. You have an idol.
Mm-hmm.
And they have
yes.
an idol, and you're in trouble. So the point is, the righteous woman that is calling it, all focus is, I'm going to serve my Lord, like Maryam, huh? I'm going to serve my Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the model of righteousness for the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
So then the fearing disobedience then, the fearing disobedience, what is that?
The one more time?
Where it's translated to say, and those who fear disobedience on her part.
Oh, that when you start going into the striking stuff, you really want to talk about that?
but, She had it in, I guess, Darba, you know, because, you know, well, you already know, Brother Imam, but that has been.
Well, I'm not trying to cut her off or to say that I'm not doing it. But I'm saying the key word in that, I believe the word, I'm not looking at the verse, but it's Nushuz. Nushuz. That's what people have to look up in order to understand. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you got a man that says, you didn't cook my egg, you didn't scramble my egg hard enough, bam. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's not Nushuz, right? What it's talking about is just outright, overt, rebellious unwillingness to conform to what both in the party, in the marriage, know that Allah has ordered. Remember, the standard is for as far as Al-Islam is concerned. But if they go beyond the bounds and are emphatically rebellious to stick to that rebelliousness, now you're talking new shoes. And then that comes in, and then respecting what I know, Brother Mark and all of us have some, all of us on the line for sure, have some sense about the darba aspect of it. I'm just going to go straight to the aspect. Let's say you have a woman that meets that new shoes standard, right? So that means that she's suitable for the darba that the Prophet explicitly was talking, well, that Allah is talking about and that the Prophet modeled for us. And it says, don't hit in the face. Don't use anything bigger than a toothbrush, a toothstick, and don't break the skin. So when the Imam explained that dimension of it, the Imam said, all he's saying is that if the person has a conscience, right? Mm-hmm. If the conscience is not completely dead, and if you, the man, are in your right mold and model, then just having to tap her that way for that reason and her understanding what that means, that should bring her back to righteousness, bring her back to an awareness, right? It's a child, you have gone way over the line. If I got to take this toothpick and hit you with it, now you know you way out of line. But now if she's that far gone, that's why what comes after that is they lock her up in the house until she dies or Allah makes the way out. I know that's pretty deep, but it's not me saying. It's what God said. Because, you know, who knows, she may be a banshee devil or something. I don't know. So,
Brother Imam, could we actually say, actually, the objective in that, if we are to have a takeaway, if it's strike in terms of striking the consciousness of the person, I think that would be what the main takeaway. Because I mean, you know, even when we look at parent children relationship, as our children grow older, if we are striking anything, it should be to strike the consciousness of them in that report, instead of striking them as if and though they were animals or something of that nature. Even the Prophet was kind to animals. So, it's not, and we shouldn't be looking at it at a physical level. And I know the Quranic words, they have definitions too. And if we follow that natural progression that's there, it actually would lead us to, in terms of striking the consciousness, not really in terms of striking the flesh. And those persons that have a proclivity, males that have a proclivity, one, to beat up on women, they cannot use the Quran for rationalization or justification for doing that, because that is not in Revelation. And the Prophet, we don't have anything in his life example where he did that.
Yeah, and the only people that don't already accept that advice are people who are hypocrites to all these sources anyway. You're trying to, whether it's a hypocrite by cultural conditioning or it's a hypocrite in fact, You know, it's like, come on, it's sort of like saying, all right, what Muslim that's really a Muslim don't know that?
Yes.
Meaning that you know the Prophet hasn't modeled that for you. You know that's not. Your own natural conscience is telling you, if you had any kind of feeling, human feeling, how can you be okay with brutalizing anybody?
That's not the model.
But anybody who's sincere already knows that. So anybody else who's already bent against it, you may be facing futility to try to get them to change.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, my real question was about that part about fearing disobedience and looking at the idea that the obedience is still to Allah and to what Allah has ordained for us and not to that man. And I think that was important. And to our listening audience, this is just a reminder, you are listening to IWDM, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and we have with us this evening the esteemed Imam Fahim Shuaib. And so if you have a question or a comment and you want to join in this conversation that we're having this evening, push one on your phone if you're in the studio. If you're not in the studio and you're listening out there online, go ahead and join us in the studio at 714-816-4673. And so, Mark, did you have a follow-up question for Imam Fahim?
Well, no, he actually covered what it was that, you know, the most recent learning lab that we actually had. And, of course, you know, always there are people that, you know, have a lot of commentary on that, just oftentimes based on their feelings or opinions. And this is one of the things that we can't, you know, when we say La Sharika Lahu, you know, we can't associate partners or associate things, you know, with what it is that Allah gives us in Revelation. It's very, very important to understand the Quran. This is why the tafsir of Imam W.D. Muhammad is so very, very important, and he has encouraged us to learn the Quran in the language in which it was revealed, because there's so much that Imam Fahim Shuaib, he knows that we have some very good imams in this association that are encouraging. It's incumbent upon all of us, not just men, but women and children, to learn this religion as it is. And you know, Brother Imam, in that ayat, also in 34, is actually even talking about the man. He has to be devoutly obedient, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he has to be devoutly obedient. So, you know, this is very important, you know, because the success for even our relationships or any type of relationships or anything, you know, in terms of our encounters with human beings, the foundation is our relationship with our Lord and Creator. This is very important, because if we don't have that as a foundation, then it is going to be in terms of our thinking, our opinions, how we feel, and then ultimately if you have a mate that feels the same way, now that's going to produce even more conflict in your marriage. So the agreement has to be, you understand, in terms of obedience to what God's word is, what his will is, and the way he wants us to live, and then it will work. You see, so other than that, you're going to have many, many problems and issues in the relationship if that is not something that both are able to really see. You know, Quran, there were some other things in this particular, I would say, principle that Keela had mentioned. And so you, at this time, you might want to, if we don't have any callers in the queue, and of course, Quran has encouraged you, and I'm encouraging you too, this is your opportunity to press one. I know some things that you perhaps, some of you, perhaps for the first time are actually hearing this. But if this is making good sense to you, we'd like to hear from you. And if you have a question to Imam Fahim Shuaib as our special guest facilitator, Now is the time to press 1 or any comments that you like to make. We do encourage
can
you.
I,
if you...
Can I add something before we go
yes,
there?
Because
we
have people waiting. The clock is ticking.
Yeah, go ahead, Brother Imam. Mm-hmm.
Just briefly, I want to put in something that is also very familiar with or familiar to us and the audience, and the idea that men and women are garments for each other. Right?
Yes.
Men and women are garments for each other. That's a statement about intimacy too. Right?
Yes.
Because what's closer to you than your garments, right? Between you and your garments is nothing, right? So it's like
right.
Your garments, right? So innately that statement is saying we are intimate to each other, and we are intimate to each other when we're there. When we truly come into the form that we've been talking about, you are really a garment for them.
That's right.
And especially when, as the Quran says, and the best garment is taqwa.
Yes.
Taqwa is the best garment. So not just the first order, you see the physical contact between the garment and the body. Right, but now abstractly, when you see the garment as being taqwa, and then each of us are garments for each other, then that means I have to contribute to the taqwa of my wife, and my wife has to contribute to my taqwa. I have to be conscious of her in the way that God would have me be conscious of her, and she has to be conscious of me in the way that God would have her to be conscious of me. And
that's
when
right.
both of us act that way, then we are the best garment. And the thing about the garment is a garment can either make you look good or make you look bad, right? So the goal is to make them look good, right?
Good.
And the best way to do that is with taqwa.
You know what? I'm so glad you said that, because even in the Quran, as you well know, it states two things. It becomes a protection. And also beautify you.
Yes,
yes. Yeah, you're going to look as good as you can look, you know, with one that's God conscious, consciously regardful. Quran, do we have callers in the queue with their hands up? I know we do. So let's go to the callers and see what they have on their mind tonight. Quran.
All right. We will start with 706-627. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
This is Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam. Shraif.
Alaikum assalamu alaikum.
Last time I seen you, we was together at Al Mukminun in Atlanta. But I just wanted to, yes, sir. I was trying to hope that maybe you might can elaborate, you know, this, what you were explaining, and the marriages that we have. How you said, here on earth where we are right now, and it's distracting us from focusing on the obedience to Allah. And that's why we're having so many problems, you know, with single parents within the Muslim community, you know, children being born out of wedlock, you know, because we're still following, you know, the whispers of the shaitan that he and Allah showed us in Adam and Eve's first relationship to give us the warnings.
Yes.
I'd like for you, because see, the goal is to produce, like you said, bring something out of the universe, bring something out of our marriage that's going to establish family life and community life that we all are suffering right now with all this great knowledge we got.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you so much, brother. Yeah. Thank you so much, Brother Muhammad, for your question. Yes. Press 1, Brother Muhammad, so we can keep the studio clear. Imam Fahim, you want to respond?
Briefly, there's a lot of places to go, but we are dissatisfied when we see quote unquote marriages. Births that are coming without the obligations of the formal institution of marriage, right?
Yes.
And so it is disappointing, but on two levels, I'm not trying to make it okay at all, because the idea is, I'm just trying to aim at understanding. The idea is that Allah says he creates males and females in the womb as he pleases, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of having a marriage to be halal, that's the idea, having
yes.
a marriage to be halal, it means that you have the mahar, the dowry, you have the walima, you have the public invitation. The imam points out that a secret marriage is a marriage of ill intent. So
mm-hmm.
I have to say also, when you talk about the language and formally speaking, the role of licensed marriages is in order to have order and law in the society. So it's something that's been institutionalized in the interest of inheritance and in the interest of rights and standing and all that. So alhamdulillah, those are civilized acts. And in Islam, we have them too. Uqd nikah, it means the marriage contract, right? Uqd nikah is the marriage contract. So there, but now, nikah is the same word for nikah, which is marriage. It also means intercourse. It means intercourse. The same word, nikah, it means marriage and it means intercourse, right? But now, when we're talking about the institution, then we're talking about uqd nikah. We're talking about intercourse under contract, right?
Yes.
Intercourse with a contract. So obviously, if a child comes along, there's been intercourse. If the public doesn't know, that's why the walima is supposed to be happening, right? You're supposed to have witnesses and invite the public. And so now everybody knows, okay, this is halal. This is, everything is halal, right?
Yes.
But when you don't have the walima, you don't have the uqd nikah, you don't have the mahar, you don't have those things that al-Islam says institutionalized so that you can have a civilized order, then when you don't have that, well, then all the problems that we are not liking are coming through in that way. So it's all saying that, you know, we have to be who we say we are. If a Muslim
yes.
marriage calls for the doing this in the proper way, then we have to have an ummah that invites, encourages, and models that behavior so it becomes our ethos, becomes our culture. But yeah, it's quite a problematic, moral, spiritual situation. When we don't in so many instances look any different than the world that we're trying to call to the right way. So we just got to keep working on it, keep modeling it. But you have
yes.
to do it. You have to do it with balance. You have to do it with balance because you don't want to crush the young people that you want to be close to you in the interest of a moral design that you haven't been victim of. But at the same time, we have to figure out a balanced way to incorporate and improve the
mm-hmm.
environment that subjects us to that. So it's the right question, right concern, and it takes all of us to make it right. And so we do have to really, in a way that's merciful, but still let our community know that this is not the way that al-Islam wants it
yes.
to be, and hopefully they can get that content.
Yes.
And
yeah.
and avoid that.
That's
possible.
Right. Reach the conscience. Yeah. Thank you
yeah.
so much. Very well said, Brother Imam. So, Quran. Who else do we have in the queue with their hands up? Question or
yes.
comment to Imam Fahim?
Yes, and we thank our last caller. And now we go to 816-813. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Hi, assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Najma Katada in Kansas City, Missouri.
Hi, alaikum. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You have a question or comment for Imam Fahim?
Yes, kind of a combination of both. In that same surah, 434, there's a couple of parts of that ayat that I rarely hear mentioned or spoken about. The first part
yes.
is said, I'm reading from the tablet. It says, "In the righteous women are devoutly obedient. Therefore, righteous women are devoutly obedient, and guard in absence what Allah would have them guard." And yeah. I've heard it translated in different ways that it's not so much in the husband's absence or he guards his property, which is many mm-hmm. times the way I've heard it translated, that you protect his property, as if she's always around protecting her property, the physical property, not herself in that relationship. The second thing is in the steps toward hitting a woman, as it said, there's rarely a mention of step two, where he refuses to share the bed.
Thank you so much. Yeah, press one as you muted, dear sister, and give Imam Fahim an opportunity to respond. Sister Akilah did address that also, but we also added something to that. So, Brother Imam, at this time, go ahead and respond to that in terms of guarding in the absence. What is it that Allah wants her to guard in the absence there, if you would?
So in terms of that, absolutely, the property, that's also a physical dimension of it. And, you know, I kind of hinted at that. You really want to go there? That was kind of like a joke. because, listen, on just the first half of that verse,
yeah.
I don't know if I did. I don't know. I think I might have done 30 sections of, I'm reducing it. I think I did 30 khutbahs, 30 weekends, you know, on that. And that's just on the first part of it. There's no boast. I'm just saying. There's so
no,
many
I bear witness, brother, you, ma'am. I'm listening, so I bear witness that you did that.
Okay. So let's get to that. So I'm not trying to excuse myself so much. But I'm acknowledging that, yeah, there are a lot of things that go unsaid that is in the verse. And that's our role. Just like she came and she points out where this is what I don't often hear is this. And this is what I also don't often hear is this. Alhamdulillah. So the fact that she brought it up, now it has been heard at least today and in this circle. And that's going to be the case for everything because the Quran is holographic. The whole mm-hmm. is in every one in one of its parts. But let's move away from that. So to get to specifically, so you remember we talked about the into me you see, and we talked about the two sides of everything. So you have the two sides of us, you know, the concrete and the abstract. And also it's going to be two sides to everything that we read in the verse. You have the concrete side, you have the physical side, and you have the abstract side. Okay, so as has been mentioned, the physical aspect of it, the protection of his property. Excellent. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Also, one of the things that she protects in his absence is his character, his honor. She doesn't go out in the street saying to her little gossip circle things that would embarrass her husband or that would cause people to give him a side eye when he steps out there. Why are people looking at me like this? Because something that the woman has went out and said that she shouldn't have said. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had shared a confidence with one of his wives, and then they shared it with each other, and they should not have. He did not protect his confidence, right?
Yeah.
He gave with you in confidence. You broke the confidence, and so therefore you didn't protect my confidence in my absence, right? And then the prophet separated us from all of them for 30 days. Because that's one example of how it's not just the material possessions, but it's the moral and the spiritual possessions. Actually, his character has to be protected. His honor has to be protected. His image has to be protected. So that's that. What was the other thing? Oh, the refuse to share a bed. See, that does point to something very important because everything has been turned around in this world. It's like if she's the one that does the withholding, and then, you know, we in the doghouse, right? Whereas God is actually saying in the Quran, it's really not supposed to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's supposed to be, but then also let me stay on this side with the hadith of it, because when we talked about the darba. The striking, and we talk about the conscience, et cetera, et cetera. Let's stay on that side of that question. So, therefore, if your husband refuses to share your bed with you, that should tell you something. It's like, man, he wants it. And then there's reports from the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It says, it's saying that if the failure of her toward the husband in that way deprives her of the blessings of the angels until they get reconciled. So in terms of the Prophet, but see that has the most power because it's going gradually. That has the most power on a righteous woman. I'm just saying, a woman who has taqwa, right? A woman who has some God consciousness, and she understands that he's acting right now in a way that says, I'm way out of bounds, all right? And I'm going to stop here. Where the Muslims used to say when they were in a situation and all somebody had to say was ittaqu in the group. They just had to say ittaqu. When they say ittaqu, that means have regard for God. But the fact that they kind of came out of the blue, it makes everybody start looking around to say, wait a minute, somebody must have did something wrong, because there's a statement out here that's saying ittaqu, so something wrong has been done, right? So the point is that because you have an ethos that's sensitive to those signals, then we can. It takes less to maintain righteousness. But when you're in an ethos that lacks the Quranic vibe, I'm going to try to abbreviate it, then, you know, people just get away with what they get away with. You know what I'm saying? And nobody knows how or when to check anybody, because righteousness is not the code.
Alhamdulillah. No, that's excellent. You know, Brother Imam, what you had mentioned in terms of the guarding of the character and honor, did mention that, and then also used the narrative of Prophet Ibrahim and Ishmael, alayhi salam, in the illustration of that in terms of how it is that you guard the character. And that gets right back to what you said before we open up the lines in terms of being a garment for each other,
yeah,
a protection for each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
in her right, she is a protector too. She's a guardian too. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Quran, that Akila in her book was talking about the chastity in terms of guarding Quran.
Yes, that was exactly that we mentioned that early on with that. I don't know if the sister was on when we shared that, but that is a part of what she said. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we added to that. So alhamdulillah, this is so very, very important that we just not just reading words, but as Imam Muhammad said, you know, reading into that and making these these connections, because we still are, you know, talking about the intimacy. How close can you be, but when you may be doing things to actually bring about division in your relationship? So, alhamdulillah. Okay, Quran, let's go. Do we have other callers in the queue with their hands up? A question or comment,
yes,
Brother Imam?
We do. I know the Imam is going to need to leave, so let's try to get to these other callers that we have.
Okay, I'm going to ask them to be very succinct. Just take a minute. If you have a question, get right to your question, if you would, please. And Imam Fahim can be as succinct as he possibly can and answer your question. So who do we have up next?
We have 404-368. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Tawanda from Decatur, Georgia.
Alaykum as-salam. Welcome to the Marriage Learning Lab. Your question or comment to Imam Fahim?
My question is still pertaining to Surah 4, Ayat 34.
Yes,
I'm still confused with that, because what about the brother respecting the sister? I'm just, you know what, I'm really confused with the Muslim brothers being respectful to the Muslim sisters.
You're confused about the brother being disrespectful to the sister? Is that what you said?
Yeah. I'm very confused because to me, the brothers don't respect the sisters like they should. And they take this here story for an Act 34 and they turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the sister look like she's a bad person.
What you're saying there, my sister, is abuse. Any man that's doing that, and you see a man that says he's a Muslim and a believer, and doing things that reflect badly or do not reflect or even contradict what you are reading in the Quran, you shouldn't be confused. It's them that are wrong, and the Quran is right, and they're just disobedient, potentially hypocrites to the religion. It's not the religion. It's the person who's claiming the religion and acting otherwise.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, ma'am.
We appreciate your comment. And continue to listen, because inshallah you'll benefit from what we're sharing.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. And, you know, the other thing, I got to say this because I often have said it, and I always say generality is not the reality. Generality is not the reality. So we don't want to, and I'm not saying the sister is doing this, but we don't want to promote as if and though every brother is abusive or every sister is abusive or what. Then you may have some cases or situations whereas that you see that, but just like Imam Fahim said, you know, now we're talking about being obedient. So the Quran is a guidance for all of us in our lives in terms of being instructions for the construction of our life, not for the destruction of our lives. See, so when we see that, then you're not being obedient, you're not being Muslim, you know, by definition. In that regard, so we don't define this way of life by individuals. We don't. It's just like Christianity. They didn't define it by Hitler. He claimed to be a Christian too. See, but we don't define the religion in regards to individuals. So generality is never the reality. So we don't want to even think in that way. But we want to address those things. Because when we see them, know that they're not following the Quran, and they most certainly are not following Prophet Muhammad, who is the model for all of us. So let's keep going, Quran. Who else we have? Hands up. Please press 1, sister. Ask her to press 1 so we can keep the studio clear. It won't be confusing to you. Who we have up next?
Okay, so I'm not sure that the one number has already gone, so I'm not sure if he pressed 1 before, if this is for him to come back in. So I'll go into the green room and talk to him. But Imam Fahim, one thing I would love for you to reiterate with our listeners when it comes to what the sister just shared, and that is in our selecting our mate, we have to be very careful about the process we're using, and these things that we're looking at here, we're covered from the perspective of Quran. So this is about courtship. And so in courtship, what kinds of warning signs will we look for? How do we ask the questions to get to understand the a brother or a sister's understanding of Quran to make sure it's aligned with ours?
Yes. A big question in these last minute or two, but Khadija and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Khadija and the Prophet. Yes, let's see if we can abstract, you know, a guide from that, right? So Khadija married Muhammad ibn Abdullah, right, who was once her employee. He was her employee, right? So a part of the hint in that, at least on two levels, is that if you own a business and you have to leave somebody responsible for your assets, would you trust this person with your assets, right? Yes. If he's followed, if he has the kind of integrity, honesty, capability, et cetera, to be a good employee of yours, that's one first criteria. But if he's always showing up late and, you know, making excuses and, you know what I'm saying, coming up short in those ways that he shouldn't be coming up short, then that should be a yellow light for as far as that is concerned. So one is just the person's integrity and trustworthiness, right? Is he a man of his word, you know? And also what's his reputation / his character, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all those things, you need to know all those things about him. And as Khadija did with Muhammad, she had somebody go check him out. You know what I'm saying? She didn't put herself out there. She said, well, what's his case? What's his situation? And then go check him out, right? And then, of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do the same when it came to the female side of it in terms of that. So, and the same kind of expectations for as far as honesty, you know, and integrity and all that should also be true for as far as the woman. Now, the woman from her side. The man from his side, the maher, is an example of what's got to be the case. The maher, which is the dowry, which is rooted in the word skill and ability, right? So the point is that the man, he has to have skill and ability, but now he has to also ask himself, are you willing to, in an unqualified way, share your resources with her? That is, if you are living with her, do you have the resources and the willingness to use your resources to support her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the point is that she can check and see if he's come across with a kind of stingy vibe, and if he himself finds himself being reserved about being charitable towards her and being generous towards her, then I think those are also yellow lights. Or red flags, whatever you might want to call it, for as far as that. So, I mean, those are some of the things that should be looked at. And of course, if there are prior marriages and relationships, then yeah, there should be some investigation around that. Investigation might be a harder term, but you're not going to make a more important decision in your life than to get married and also or to get divorced. It's like both of them, and so these are life-changing and life-impacting decisions, more important than the car you're going to buy, the house you're going to buy, the vacation you're going to take. It's like, and people spend more time investigating those things than they do investigating a potential husband or wife. So we have to have more due diligence in a very real sense, and you can have somebody else do that for you. That's what the name for that? I'm lost there. Wazir? Or something. No, that's not wazir. The one who is the one who acts as the go-between.
Wali, right.
Right? That's why Wali is necessary. It doesn't matter whether you've been married before or not. You can still get that in not the best way. You need to have someone to look into your interests and see if your interests are respected in that individual, male or female.
Yes. And, you know, Brother Imam, you know, those are very valuable points. You know, I also like what the report that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in terms of, and when we talk about people that potentially could be abusive, when the Prophet spoke about four categories that everyone will fall in one of those categories, quick to anger but quick to cool down, slow to anger but slow to cool down, and the best of you are the ones that is slow to anger but quick to cool down, and the worst of you are the ones that are quick to anger but slow to cool down. Now, obviously, the person who actually, you know, needs some type of help there, but just succinctly, the worst of you, that person that is quick to anger but slow to cool down, they always seemingly are in anger mode, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Yeah. You know, so this is a biggie too, because what does the anger lead you to do in the relationship?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because it don't take much for one that falls into that category that the prophet is talking about. So on the premarital questionnaire that we have, in terms of looking at qualities, and by the way, what you said is excellent, because if we see, and we should see, that the Prophet Muhammad is modeling everything, before he became the prophet, he was known as Al-Sadiq and El-Amin, truthful and the trustworthy. So we should be looking for those qualities first and foremost. He possessed those even before becoming the prophet, and of the 25 years, 15 of those years was lived with Lady Khadija Rahimahullah Anna, 15 of those years before even becoming the prophet. And so the attraction was to the character and the qualities and characteristics that he possessed.
Yeah.
And so reputation, we had that, you know, reputation versus character, where he was reputed to be truthful and trustworthy, and that's how the people saw him. But then she was able to see him, that this truly was his character, that he was a truthful man and he was very trustworthy. So those are two good starting points right there. And, you know, we should always utilize Al-Islam, what it is that Allah gives us in the Quran, his framework, but what has been exemplified in the Prophet Muhammad in living the Quran is very useful to us in helping us to be able to use good discernment.
Okay, Mark, thank you so much for that. I know that the imam needs to go, and we do have several people in the queue. So what I would recommend to our folks in the queue is stay there with us, and we can still have this conversation, but out of respect for the imam's time, we want to definitely thank you for being with us today, alhamdulillah, and we do look forward to having you in the future, inshallah.
As long as I haven't worn out my welcome. And,
you will never wear out.
You know already. You know you have open invitation, and you still have the record.
You
still have a record for the most appearance on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, going all the way back when Manira and I first started. And by the way, we're coming up on our 6th anniversary, and I've extended an invitation to our dear sister Manira Habil, and she has agreed to be with us here. This is for the radio listening audience on October the 14th, which will be 2 weeks away as we acknowledge the 6th anniversary of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. It's just a continuation here on IWDM Radio. So we'll be looking forward, to having our beloved sister Manira Habil join us here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio. So know it's an open door policy always for you. And this outstanding publication, with your schedule permitting, that each one of these principles at the end of it, I will be extending the invitation, and depending on your schedule and everything, we like to get you back to get commentary. So the next one that's coming up is the word ripple. We can spell ripple, is the first P, which is partnership. And there's a lot of great information in this publication in regards to that, and even how the Prophet exemplified partnership in modeling not only monogamy, but also polygyny also. So we'll be looking forward to getting you back, inshallah, as we continue down this path of Muslim marriage makeover, modeling Muhammad the Prophet and making waves in your marriage with the ripple effect. So alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Brother Imam. You never wear out your welcome, and if you could stay with us longer, I know Quran and I would be elated that, but, you know, she was just being conscious of the time and everything, and we still got callers on here that want to address that, and if you have the time to address their questions, by all means, you're welcome.
No, he's already gone. He left.
Oh, he's already gone. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
he may
still be listening. But yeah, but we want to always thank Imam Fahim Shoaib. Over the years, he's always been very gracious whenever I've extended the invitation to him to come on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. If it didn't conflict with his schedule, he always gave us whatever time he could give. And actually, he gave us even more time than he agreed to. So, alhamdulillah, he's very passionate about healthy male-female relations. And I consider him a forerunner in this community, as he was dubbed at one time the relationship imam. And sometimes people can see you in a certain light, but we know Imam Fahim Shoaib, Allah has blessed him to really be a very scholarly imam, and that's not all that it is that he knows, of course, in that regard, but he was at the forefront of that. So I always like to summons him to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So we'll be looking forward to him coming back, and I will extend the invitation to him when we finish up the chapters in the next principle, which is partnership. So, Quran, if we got callers still in the queue with their hands.
Brother Muhammad had a comment he wanted to make. And
okay. Well, we'll go back to Brother Muhammad and see what he have on his mind. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Brother Muhammad, the imam may still be listening in, even though he's not actually on here. So I know you wanted to follow up with a comment, so you can go ahead and make your comment.
Yes, ma'am. As-salamu alaykum. I just wanted to say on the you know, I've been married 42 years my own self now, and I know one of the most important things on my mind when me and my wife are separated, that we both guard our obedience to Allah, you know, because that is the life of our marriage. And if Shaytan can creep in, you know, when we are separated and have one of them disobey, just a small thing, you know, that becomes the beginning of a problem when I get back home. Or
Right. Very good point.
Brother,
thank you.
No, Brother Muhammad, I'm so glad that that you had the courage to call in and to say that, and in particular the fact that 42 years of being married, very, very important what it is that you actually said in terms of being obedient to Allah. You know, that really is the key. That really is the key. So
yes,
if, in fact, that if you as a person, that ultimately is your goal to be obedient to Allah, consciously regardful of Allah's word, His will, and His way, and you strive to the best of your ability to live your life in accordance with His word and conform your will to what God's will is for you and want to live your life the way Allah wants you to live your life, in the various components of human aspects of human life, then that is the person that you're really looking for as a mate. Quran kind of alluded to it in terms of the courtship, in terms of how we go about trying to select mates. But that's the key. I mean, sometimes people think that when we have problems, we think that, wow, this has to be something real, real, real deep that is given as an answer for what we see as problems in relationships today. No, but you know, Allah gives it to us very simplistic in the Quran, and it's talking throughout the Quran from Al-Fatiha all the way to An-Nas, the last surah of the Quran. Those who accept His signs. What do you mean accept His signs? Accept His message that He's given to His messenger in every aspect of human life, if it is addressing the human being. And those who reject His signs, what do you mean reject? Rejecting His message. Rejecting, if you reject God's message, you're rejecting His word. You're rejecting His will for you, and you're rejecting His way. We say where there's a will, there's a way. So Allah has a will. And He's the one that has given us our will, and He's given us a limited free will. So this becomes the separation here. Or are you going to be accepting, or are you going to be rejecting? Are you going to be obedient or are you going to be disobedient? It's just that simple.
And
go ahead, Muhammad.
Yeah, and the motivation behind that is because of that type of obedience. See, I know that a khalifa, he has to work in peace if he's going to do the work of Allah. You know, and we all are khalifas, so we should do that, to strive for that. We get the chance to see what we created when we came down here. You know, and then to do establishing what Allah preferred for the human family in peace. And marriage plays a very important role of it. Very, very important role.
Yeah. And you know, I'm glad you said that, because that is what has to be maintained in the relationship, in peace. This is in accordance with the natural creation. We don't see Allah's creation in chaos, in confusion. So that's the same that it is supposed to be for the marriage, to be in peace. And Allah even says, you know, where you have these issues, he even gives us instructions as to those who desire to restore peace after peace has been broken. Allah will bring about reconciliation. This is the Quran.
Yep.
You see, so Allah will help us in reconciling any differences. But what is the prerequisites? The prerequisites, Allah says, that if you have a desire to want to restore the peace, if it can't be just one and the other don't want to, no, they both have to want to restore the peace. And Allah will bring that about. So what is that talking about? It is actually talking about the heart of the two that's in the relationship. And with the right one, Allah said that he would put the love and he would put the mercy in their heart. See, the heart is the symbolic of our intentions and our motivation. And in some instances, there may be one that I don't have no intention or motivation for. One, I want to raise hell. I don't want peace. You see, or both may have heart have come to that point. The intention is not pure anymore. But that's not in accordance with God's will and plan. See, whatever it is that Allah creates and he establishes, it is all good. Now, do we have good intentions? Do we have good motivation? I'm not asking you to answer that. I'm just asking the question in a rhetorical way to our radio listening audience. We have to think about that. And that is the key. You know, as we've said that so many times here, and it's good to hear, you know, one of our scholarly imams, such as Imam Fahim Shuaib, to reiterate those things that Quran and I are saying, and Manira, we've been saying for years on the sister station, AM 360, and now here on IWDM Radio. That is the foundation, establishing our relationship with our Lord and Creator. And that is a servant to master. Allah is the master, we're the servant. What is a good servant? A good servant is an obedient servant. You don't deviate. What did the master say? You see, not what you say. Not what you think. You know, so we should be thinking now. We should think, but we should be thinking with the Quran. This is very important. We should be thinking with the Quran. When we start just thinking on our own, or at least we think we're thinking on our own, we are very vulnerable to the influence of the shaitan at that time. That's exactly what shaitan wants you to do. Think that you can make the decision on your own, that you know what morality really is. You're able to decide what is good, what is evil. See, you know, there's a whole lot I could say about that in terms of, but
let me say this quote right quick. And then if we can, the married people in Al-Islam should understand this is our obligation. If we know all about marriage, that the married people in Al-Islam, it's our obligation to establish this community life for the single people and the single people to come.
Yes.
So we can heal this strife that we're going through and this disunity that we're going through. And it all can happen with the good, proper way of marrying each other. Can solve the community like that we're being denied. Right now, we're all in a state of divorce, even though we're married, you know, because we are in love with this society, knowingly or unknowingly, and we have a fornicated relationship in our marriage and don't even know it. So when we purify the marriage according to the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad that Allah has instructed us to, we might take a second look at my Muslim brother and sister who's married and they live next door. You know, or the Muslim brother and sister who Shaitan has come between us and we haven't, we know he's between us, but we haven't problem with our own marriage in our own home, you know, that keeps us from the trust and all the things and the focus on obeying Allah in order to come together. Because the key to our unity in the United States of America is how the married people in Al-Islam, in the community of Imam Wahdi Muhammad, ask for forgiveness and establish a life for the children to come from out of all these marriages.
Yes. And you know, Brother Iman, you know, Muhammad, I just wanted to say that's a... Yeah, we got another caller, so I'm going to say this here. Now, you struck up on something because we are to be modeling what marriage, the sacred institution of marriage really is.
Right.
And we can't accept Western society's misconception and misperception of what marriage actually is. And now it has been denigrated to the point whereas that many don't think that they need to get married. I don't know what word they call it now, just shacking up, you know, a plain house. No, we can't do that because, I mean, just like what Imam Fahim has said tonight, very, very important, it becomes a commitment. But it's really a commitment to what God's word is and what his way is, and he's the one that established this sacred institution. So I could say a lot more about that, but I'm going to stop there. Brother Muhammad, as always, you always lend some excellent commentary and thought-provoking things, so we appreciate you coming on and all continue to listen in. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
I need a lot of press one as you go out, Muhammad. Yes, ma'am,
okay,
Karan.
Welcome. Yes, 219-484. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
I got no
Jamal.
Who are you? I know who you are, but who are you and where you calling from?
I had Dr. Jamal Rashid from Gary, Indiana.
Yes, sir. Welcome, Dr. Jamal Rashid.
Yeah, I was hoping that I would have been able to catch Imam Fahim before he left because he was speaking of the abstract. I wanted him to address more to Tawanda's concern when he was speaking of the abstract and the physical.
Concrete and abstract, yes.
They could have gone into many people don't understand the abstract of just the word, how the word striking. If they obviously look at it on the physical level, then that's ignorance. But if they look at the Arabic word of what striking is, you strike a nerve. When we speak of striking the nerve, that's not physical.
No, that's not.
And so when you look at it that way, many people just don't understand the English translation, which that's a terrible word for strike if you don't understand the actual translation of the Arabic. That's why I want him to go into that a little deeper so that she may understand that many males don't understand and they look at things physically instead of looking at it, understanding the abstract and just even the beat. You know, a policeman walks the beat, or you there's a competition in a game. So there are many ways that you look at the word beat. But if they're looking at it to strike, I mean to physically beat a female, then that's obviously ignorance. And that's why we have the abuse. But going into what you were speaking of, what you all were just speaking of, just now when you said Satan can dupe people, and our thoughts, you know, I constantly say that Satan hides in our thoughts when they're giving us a justification or an excuse. In our thoughts that we're doing what's right, and then we think we are morally correct, and we have fallen prey to a excuse that Satan has whispered into our thoughts.
Yes, yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, Imam Muhammad, he had given us some master keys when you were speaking. It kind of brought, he gave us several master keys. He talked about the macrocosm and the microcosm. And he said that the objective material world is a sign of the spiritual world of man. What is in man? What are his social world? So when we talk about, you know, spiritual and morality, we are actually looking at it in terms of abstract, you know, concrete. Like he said, the macrocosm. He said that's the objective material world. So, you know, it's very, very important for us to understand, as the Imam has said, another master key, that everything in creation has its counterpart in man, meaning there's a likeness or similarity. So you're absolutely correct. You say you're striking the nerve or you're striking the consciousness, and that's ultimately the takeaway. If you was listening, I'm quite sure you were, when I already knew that that's what it was, but since we have, and sometimes, and this is no reflection on any imam, but for some of us, we have to hear an imam say this. I don't call myself an imam. People call me imam in that regard, but I don't call myself an imam or a sheikh or anything of that nature, but Allah has blessed me to learn the religion. And it's very clear and plain, you know, to me that it's actually just because what turns people around when you can reach their consciousness? How did the human being get off the right path when they became unconscious? So the appeal always has been to the conscious. This is, I mean, Shaitan is one to make us unconscious. So Taqwa is talking about being God conscious. You see, this religion is really very, very simple. You know, it's not complex at all. But sometimes people, you understand, have been influenced by Shaitan, and they're not even conscious that they have been influenced by Shaitan, and they're operating on Shaitan's word. So you're absolutely on, you know, Dr. Jamal Rashid, and whatever is in the objective material world is also in the spiritual makeup of the human being, what's in the human being. But that's abstract.
Right.
See, that's abstract.
Yes, sir.
See, and really to understand ourselves, we really, the way Allah teaches us, Imam Muhammad says, the way he teaches us through the natural creation. This is his creation. And he teaches us through revelation. You know, Adam, you understand, when he met with a word from his Lord, he repented. See, so it becomes Allah teaching us through the natural creation and teaching us through revelation. And Imam Muhammad said the Quran is the little book that points us to the big book.
Yes.
See, so therefore we have to look at the concrete, and then we have to look at the abstract. And he said another master key is let the known lead you to the unknown. So man is given an intellect to study the natural creation. And what he has, Allah has enabled him to be able to know about that, there's a likeness inside of him. Everything is in the creation, there's a likeness inside of him. You know, and so that's a conversation we could have a production on that. Maybe I will entertain that at some point on the round table. as a topic, just to give more insight to,
yeah, that would be excellent to
the
do
teachings
that.
Of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. So, alhamdulillah. But thank you so much, Dr. Rashid, for calling in. I want to say to our radio listening audience that Dr. Jamal Rashid is a very distinguished, esteemed author. Imam Muhammad endorsed his publications while he was alive and said to this community that we should have his books. We should have his books. We should read his books. Imam Muhammad was very elated with the work that Dr. Jamal Rashid has done. And he's also a host on the sister station, AM 360 Radio. Made no shame in my game to be able to say that. He partners with Henry Hasid each and every Thursday morning. And the name of his show is Solution for Critical Issues. They always have excellent topics, and they had an outstanding guest. Dr. Uta on today. And I would advise you to tune in, listen in. It starts at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 a.m. Central, 4 a.m. Pacific Coast Time on AM 360 Radio. And you can access that by dialing 515-605-9891 each and every Thursday on Solution for Critical Issues with Dr. Jamal Rashid and Henry Hasid. Thank you so much, my beloved brother and friend, for even calling in, listening in, but also calling in and making contributions. We, Karen and I, we love for our listeners to chime in on the topics that we have.
Yes, indeed. Assalamu alaikum.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you so much.
Press one as you go out.
Yes, thank you so much. And so, Mark, in our last few minutes,
yes, ma'am.
We're almost at the top of the hour.
So you know, I want to hear what you have to say. I know you. I know there was so much that was given by Imam Fahim Shuaib, and you know, and then also, would you let our radio listening audience know also what we're about to begin to embark upon on the next principle, also Quran, if you would do that.
Okay. Yeah, well, we still have a little bit to finish with this one.
Oh, okay, okay. I didn't know. I'm letting y'all know. Quran be directing this. I'm just following along here, you know. I appreciate her letting me tag along with her.
As we get into that next team, your partnership. and so I do want us to talk, and I'm so grateful for what Imam Shuaib shared with us today, because
you know
that I is very important, that intimacy in relationships is very important. And when we understand that, then we work towards that. And I think that's what Dr. Jamal Rashid was saying. That's what our callers are saying when they're trying to get to this part of it, because we have been trained on a Western way of looking at things, and we have to elevate ourselves and move beyond that physical, and to get to that spiritual, emotional, you know, realm of things is really a process that has to happen. But I do want us, before we leave this so that we can start on the next chapter next week, I wanted to talk about something that the sister said here in looking at 434. And it's not a whole lot, but I think it's important for us to share. And she talked about the fact that Surah 4, Ayat 34, in its revelation, it came at a time when men were abusive to their wives. So we understand the historical perspective. We understand how Allah was appealing to a need in that community at that time. And, you know, worse things were happening. And so Allah brought the balance so that the men would move away from the abusive behavior that they were having at that time. But also we have to understand that the Quran is a book for all time. So even though it was revealed during that time, it's still relevant today, as so many of us try to take the word out of context, as Sister Tawanda shared. You know, they take it out of context and they abuse the word of Allah. And we have to be aware of when that abuse is happening. So to our listening audience, one thing that you said tonight is that as scholars and those who study this religion, men and women, we must know the Quran. We have to know what Allah is saying to us to be able to live it. We must know what he's saying. So
We have to understand that if the Quran is a book for all times, that it is to be read literally to grasp the historical context of the verses, and it is to be read figuratively to apply Allah's words to modern times. And this is not Quran talking. This is from the sister sharing from her book. And I thought that was important for us to note, so that whenever we're reading, we understand the historical context, but we also understand how Allah wants us to apply it today. And in this particular ayat, another point that she makes that I think is important, and we've talked about it, but now I love this example that the sister gives, Sister Akilah gives in the book, Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet and Making Waves in Your Marriage. She says that the translations of one verse should not contradict other verses in the Quran. And so a verse that Allah gives us, that if we went using the misogynistic translations and these uninformed views and translations, then it will be in contradiction. And that is Surah 4, Ayat 19, where Allah, O you who believe, you are forbidden from inheriting women against their will. And we can say that trying to be a dominating person over another person is trying to inherit them, making them yours. And we don't belong to anybody but Allah. And then the ayah continues, nor should you treat them with harshness, that you take away part of their dowry or that you have given them, except when they have been guilty of open lewdness. And that goes back to what the imam talked about, the nushuz, open lewdness, and that lewdness is against Allah. Not just shamefully showing off yourself, your body, or whatever, but that open lewdness is what Allah has said to us is in blatant disregard for what Allah has said. And so it says, on the contrary, live with them on a footing of kindness and equity. If you take a dislike to them, it may be you dislike a thing, and Allah brings about through it a great deal of good. So I thought that was important for us to note to our audience that, you know, Allah doesn't contradict himself.
That's
and
right.
So when we find that kind of contradiction, know that it could be in the one translating it, and know that Allah is consistent in what he gives to us.
Right. Well, you know, I'm so glad, Quran, that you, gave that information from our beloved sister, and Quran and I, we're also endorsing this book. You need to get the book, you know, I mean, so that if you come to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, you can keep up with us here on it, but you'll be able to do your own independent reading. You'll be able to do your own independent research. You know, I do know that Imam Muhammad said that if you're going to be reading translations, or not really translation, but expressions that are given by those who given the Quran, he did recommend that Yusuf Ali would be the one that he would recommend. And one of the things that those of you who have the edition of Yusuf Ali know that there's a lot of great footnotes. Just to attest to what Quran is actually saying, many of the ayats, at the time when they was revealed, it has a historical context that's attached to it. Just like she just mentioned, in terms of the Quran, where Allah says that you are not the inheritors of women. At that time, when a man would transition, all of his property would go to his eldest son. I said property. Well, now if I ask the question, I already know the answer. Do you consider women as property? Well, woman is not property, you see. But at that time, they would inherit even the wives of their fathers. See, this is something that you have to do independent study because this was when it said the day of the dark ages of ignorance, of jahiliya. You know, yes, people were operating like that. Revelation, Allah had to reveal to them and to others, you understand, for times to come. And she's right, because one of the principles in terms of narrative study that Imam Muhammad gave to us, that time is continuous, timeless, relevance, that when the Quran was revealed, it's always relevant. It's not just, it's not a history book. Just look at it in terms of history. Many of the revelations, you understand, have a historical context, but it's still relevant even today, because we still have people with those type of mindsets that thinking that they're the owner. Matter of fact, I can go further and say Imam Muhammad said to us that in reality, Allah is the owner of all it is that he has created, all it is that he has established, but he has entrusted us as trustees. So we should see ourselves as trustee. Matter of fact, he said the only thing that you own is your attitude toward it. So that means that we always need to be checking our attitude toward whatever it is that Allah has said, and make sure that attitude is the right attitude, is that we have the attitude of submission to what God's will is. There's a lot more I could say about that, but...
Yeah, and I know we're towards the end. Let's go ahead and take this one last call.
Yeah, we're towards the end, and I'm going to get up off of it and let you have whatever closing remark that you have, and then I'm going to close us out. But I think this has been an outstanding learning lab tonight here.
I think Sister Tawanda has a follow-up statement. I do think I'd like to give her a voice.
Okay, let's
let her speak.
But
all right.
I just want to say thank you so much, because now I understand it a little bit better now.
Alhamdulillah.
And I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Assalamualaikum.
And still listen in, my dear sister. Listen in every Thursday evening. And look, I want you to invite others. You know, I know you know others, and this is one of the things I'm going to say when I close the show out. But continue to listen in and invite others. So but we appreciate you. When you ask the question... You're just not asking a question just for yourself. Trust me. You're asking questions for I don't know how many out there that had that same question on their mind. So we, Karan and I, we appreciate those who call in and ask questions, because it helps other people too, and it helps even us get more insight. So thank you so much for doing that. Big contribution tonight you made. Assalamu alaikum.
All right.
So, Karan,
yes, we're at the top of the hour, and so we want to thank all of our listening audience, especially those that pushed on and decided to share, comment, or ask questions. We are grateful for you, especially, and all of those who are listening online, those in the studio, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward and bless each and every one of you. And we say that as we close out, that this opportunity to serve Allah through our worship and being in a married relationship is a form of worship, and marriage belongs to Allah. And may Allah bless each of us to find the mate that will help us to fulfill our obligations to him, to fulfill our way of life in being with them, and such that we can leave the rest to Allah regarding our spiritual and other parts of our lives. So again, we thank you for tuning in. We invite you, if you have questions or comments, to definitely email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. And this week you will really engage with us on our social media, on our Facebook and our Instagram. Continue to do that. And our Facebook and Instagram are both Bring It to the Lab. So we ask you to like us and follow us on social media and continue the good. And may Allah bless each and every one of us. Thank you so much. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Ameen. Alaykum assalam. And I want to say alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. Once again, I want to thank our very distinguished, esteemed special guest facilitator tonight, were not very scholarly learned imams in the association, Imam W.D. Muhammad, a forerunner in establishing healthy male-female relations, Imam Fahim Shoaib Quran, and I'd like to extend a thank you to him for his insight and wisdom that he shared. I also want to thank my very distinguished, esteemed co-host and facilitator of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, Learning Lab, Quran Shakir, for her insight and wisdom that she shares each and every Thursday night here on this platform of Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I want to thank our radio listening audience, and especially those who pressed one, who came in with questions, who came in with comments. I don't want to start naming because I feel that I may overlook somebody, but you know who you are and make those contributions. We, Karan and I, we really, really appreciate that. And also I want to say to you, you know, as advice, though I know most of you have Facebook pages and all. Let's invite some of your Facebook friends. Post this, if you will, in terms of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Strive to invite at least 10 people, at least 10 people. Maybe all 10 may not come, but Allah is the best in order. Invite at least 10 people because we want to build and build these learning labs. You know people in your family. You know you have friends, you have associates, you have neighbors. You're part of a community, a local community. Please get the information out. Help Quran and myself to get the information out. We want, we have to get a backup number because there'll be so many people that actually tune in to the studio that we have to have a backup number to be able to accommodate all of them. If you are benefiting from this, then don't keep it a secret. We can't keep it a secret. Like you said, you can't keep your marriage a secret. Don't keep this a secret either. You love for your brother and sister what you love for yourself. Want to say that tomorrow here on IWDM Radio, it's Salatu Juma Day. And for that at Al Noor Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana, one of our very learned imams, Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir, will have Salatu Juma here, and that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And want to also say that each and every Sunday, the longest-running production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People, once again with the very distinguished esteem. Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir, Words Make People, as he always have very distinguished guests inside of our community, also outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community, Words Make People. That can be heard each and every Sunday afternoon, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, Words Make People with Imam Mikhail Sahir. And also, don't forget about the Sister Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio, which is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Two very distinguished, esteemed co-hosts and co-facilitators of that is Dr. Patricia Salahuddin and Najwa Abdul Tawab. And Sister Najwa Abdul Tawab joins me every Wednesday, and so she will be joining me this Wednesday, and we're on the last of the 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader, which is vision. So you don't want to miss that. And that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And also the MGM Roundtable, Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where yesterday I was able to get a very distinguished, esteemed Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, who published his 12th publication on the talks, a commentary of Imam W.D. Muhammad on Islam and American democracy. So that's a book that you should pick up if you don't have that one. Very informative. You can always go back into the archives and pick up on that interview and dialogue I had with Imam Ronald B. Shaheed. And, of course, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab each and every Thursday with Quran Shakir from Atlanta, Georgia. And join me each and every Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. We also want to encourage you to listen in to Study Al-Islam with our beloved sister Fitra Muhammad each and every Sunday. That happens at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, and 7 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Some of the most outstanding intellects in our community actually present for a half an hour on Study Al-Islam. We've had our beloved sister Quran Shakir have made several appearances on that. So please listen in. They have very, very, what they call lifetime topics in learning the Quran. We want to thank our sister doing an outstanding job. And you can get that by dialing 712-770-4160. And you have to put the access code in, which is 684-012. And if you happen to miss it, all you got to do is change that 0 to a 9. And the last presentation, the last presenter, you'll be able to hear him for the whole week until the next presenter come on. We also want to say to support the Muslim Journal, which is the lifeblood of our community, in terms of taking a subscription, which is a prescription for all of us. And if you have that, then think about a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a community member, maybe an elder or somebody that you can purchase that for so that they can read the Muslim Journal. And also The Time to Be Grateful is going to be produced by the ATL worker and Shakir reside at. And so, inshallah, I'm going to be looking at possibly having Professor Aisha Mustafa and maybe Quran Shakir, if she has time, in terms of joining, in terms you know, what the plans are for the upcoming 2021 Time to Be Grateful, so you can get an update on that at the round table. So with that being said, I want to encourage you to please make sure you get the word out about IWDM Radio and the various productions here on IWDM Radio. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Until next time, assalamu alaikum.